This is the Banner of Truth radio broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Hans Overdoon speaking. Dear listener, this is the first of a two-part broadcast that deals with an argument and disagreement that took place in the early church. Luke tells us about this rift between Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15, verse 36 to 41, and I encourage you to have your Bible open to that passage. Reading the passage, are you surprised? Would you have expected Paul and Barnabas to have such a sharp disagreement and argument between the two of them and become divided over a relatively minor matter, as Luke tells us actually happened? This was the situation. Paul suggested to Barnabas that they again go on a missionary trip, visiting the new converts from their last trip, and bringing the gospel to wherever they would go. We are told Barnabas agreed with Paul on taking another trip, but the disagreement came on whether to take John Mark with them or not. On the first missionary journey, John Mark had started out with Paul and Barnabas, but after the time on the island of Cyprus, when Paul on the mainland of Asia would proceed north into the mountains to the villages and towns there, Mark had, for some reason, left the missionary team and gone back to Jerusalem. We are told that in Acts 13, verse 13. Mark had not stuck with them on their first missionary journey, and Paul, for that reason, was not at all keen on taking Mark with them now. You see, he did not want to take a quitter with them. Barnabas, however, who had been the first one to reach out especially to Paul, when he first became a Christian, and who according to Colossians 4 verse 10 was also an uncle to Mark, he wanted to give Mark another try. And obviously Mark was volunteering himself to go with them once again. Perhaps he himself felt bad about deserting the team on the first trip, and he wanted to make up for it on this next trip. But there was no way Paul would agree to Mark coming along, and Barnabas would not give up taking him along. Both Paul and Barnabas continued to hold on to their own views on this, and the result was, as mentioned in verse 39, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. There came a division and separation between them. The end result of their disagreement is that Barnabas goes on his own trip with Mark to Cyprus, and Paul takes Silas and goes along the northern coast of the Mediterranean and northeast to the towns he had been to before. Well, Luke tells us this, led by the Holy Spirit, and it is worth asking what might be the divine gospel purpose of this portion of Holy Scripture. In this broadcast and the next, I invite you to consider with me some gospel truths we can learn from this sad quarrel and division that took place. Surely Luke wrote about this argument for gospel reasons. So let us consider, for these next two broadcasts, the theme, Learning Gospel Truths from a Sad Quarrel. Altogether, we will notice seven gospel lessons that can be learned from this passage of Scripture. For our first lesson, isn't it true that there is something good about the Bible just from the recording of this sad event? Luke's telling us of this event should help us gain confidence in the Bible as the inspired Word of God. The Bible also, in telling of the development of the Christian church by the grace and power of God, does not just tell us the nice and positive things, but it also records the more negative and darker side of things. As someone put it, the Bible does not tell us about plastic saints, but about real saints who are sinners in themselves. The Holy Bible is so genuine, telling the gospel message in the midst of the reality of our sins and sinfulness. The Bible's honesty also in telling about this sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas should help you and me have confidence in the Bible as the holy, powerful, inspired Word of God. Surely the Bible tells this darker and ugly side of things to bring out all the more clearly the necessity of and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners, and the infinitely pure and most loving heavenly bridegroom he is for his bride, his church. Acts 15 verse 36 to 41 gives reason for added appreciation for and trust in the Holy Word of God. Don't you think so too? What great respect everyone should have for the Holy Bible. You believe so too, don't you? And the second gospel lesson that jumps out from our text passage in its setting is how unrelenting and persistent the devil is in his attacks against the church and cause of the Lord. This text passage about this split between Paul and Barnabas comes at the end of a chapter where the church had just dealt successfully with the question of doctrinal disagreement. The first part of Acts 15 is all about that first combined church meeting, the so-called Jerusalem Council meeting. At that meeting, the leaders of the church met to deal with a doctrinal question that was threatened to divide the church between Jews and Gentiles. Some had been insisting that the Gentile believers had to be circumcised and to follow other Jewish ceremonial laws if they could and would really be Christians. The Jerusalem Council met on that question, and they reached a wonderful resolution that so upheld the gospel of grace and so showed the grace of that gospel. The Jerusalem Council, in their decisions, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, correctly maintained the teaching of salvation by grace alone, and yet beautifully demonstrated being most gracious and loving towards others for the gospel's sake. But now we learn, very shortly after this victory in preventing a division of doctrine in the church, the devil works in another way to bring division between members of the church, even between two close leaders in the church. How mean the devil is, and how cunning too. Are you sufficiently aware, dear listener, how the devil can and does work to disrupt and even destroy the church and every member thereof? Often, after some particular victory in the way of grace, or some real show of strength in true religion, we can be the most vulnerable to falling prey to Satan's schemes and plots. After a good Sunday in church, what reasons to be extra careful on the Monday following? This text passage drives it home again. What reasons always to be so careful in life's journey and humbly prayerful at all times? In 1 Peter 5 verse 8, the apostle earnestly exhorts, "Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." The strongest Christian in this life, while he or she may surely rejoice in and with the salvation of the Lord, yet always there's reason, as the psalmist says, to rejoice with trembling. We need to watch always. Using the letters of the word watch, watch your words, your actions, your thoughts, your companions, and your habits. Are you also on the watch against Satan and his plots and schemes as much as you could be and should be? In heaven, yes, God's people can and will rejoice evermore without trembling or fear. But in this life, with the devil still around and our natural depravity still clinging to us and the luring world always calling out to us, there is reason to be so careful and prayerful. With a later point, we will learn how our text passage also speaks loud and clear of the victory over Satan and sin in and through Jesus Christ. But let us be thankful also for this reminder from our text passage. Watch out for the devil and for blind spots in sin. You see this gospel lesson too with this text passage, don't you? A third lesson to be learned from our text passage is how we need to be careful for little things coming between us as sources of irritation and division. It is almost embarrassing to have to admit what caused the deep rift, an actual split between Paul and Barnabas. It was not disagreement on any essential gospel point, but a dispute on whether to take Mark along or not. Here two friends, mature adults, dear Christian brothers, split up over whether a third person could come on a trip or not. The way the Bible records this event does not allow us to blame one more than the other, or to say, in this case, Paul was right and Barnabas was wrong, or the other way around. Rather, you are left thinking and saying to yourself, couldn't Barnabas have seen it from Paul's side? And couldn't Paul have seen it from Barnabas and Mark's side? It was a little matter that became the cause of a major division. You might be surprised how this has happened too in church life since then, in general, and on the mission fields, between mission workers even. How the little things can so disrupt co-workers for the gospel and put a real damper on the great gospel ministries and projects. Yes, with this text, I had to think how typical this is in real life for us, isn't it? In marriage and family life too, how often the small things can become such great matters of irritation and division if we allow it so to develop. Many couples will tell you that it is embarrassing what small matters they can have such major fights over sometimes, or not. Our text passage reminds us of the cry in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, "Take us, or remove for us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes." Both Paul and Barnabas should have been more understanding of each other's position and come up with some compromise solution, but instead they locked horns over this rather minor matter and ended up going their own separate ways. Dear listener, you and I need to be big enough, or should I more correctly say small enough, not to let little things spoil our relationship with each other, not in our marriage or family, and also not within the church community. Again, here let me quote from 1 Peter, this time chapter 4, verse 8, where Peter writes, "And above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins." In meditating further on this point, what comes to mind is the Lord Jesus, and how He, the infinitely pure and beautiful Savior, must have patiently borne with all kinds of little things that could have become real irritations for Him. Oh, for Jesus to have left His perfect heavenly home and to dwell among sinful people here on this sin-cursed earth with all our sinful habits and sin-stained shortcomings. And then it's amazing to you that He would even volunteer to stay one day among us. For 3 years, too, Jesus worked especially with 12 different men. Can you imagine what He all had to endure from them? The small things that could be upsetting, those quirks, those bad manners, etc., never mind their actual sins and sinfulness. Our text passage sheds light on the unspeakable depth and height, the breadth and width of the love of God in and through Christ Jesus. Jesus never tolerated sin, but He surely overlooked a lot of things that could easily have bothered Him if He would let it. Let our text passage be used of God to work in us more of that Christ-like spirit in all our lives, and to have that fervent love that guards us against little things spoiling the vine. We are considering some gospel lessons to be learned from this sad quarrel between Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15, verse 36 to 41. So far we have noted how this passage should reassure us about the genuineness of the Bible, how it should warn us about the trickery of the devil, and about the danger of little things becoming major irritations for us. Next week, the Lord willing, we will consider four more gospel lessons to be gleaned from this passage. See if you can come up with any more in the meantime. Amen. The preceding message is available in printed form. If you would like to receive a free copy, write to the Banner of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 2044, Sumas, Washington, 98295-2044. Listeners, please write to the Banner of Truth broadcast, 9790 Carlton Street, Chilliwack, BC, postal code V2P6E3. Thank you for listening.